A logo, 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. A message. The following film has been modified from its original version. It has been formatted to fit this screen.
This film has been rated PG-13. Parents strongly cautioned by the Classification and Ratings Administration. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Now in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, a News Corporation company. Now comic book pages flip past, rapidly showing explosions and punching fists. The drawings disappear, revealing the word Marvel. Now silvery titles gleam against a black background. 20th Century Fox presents in association with Constantin Film and Marvel Enterprises, Inc. A symbol of the number 4 surrounded by a circle rotates into view. Fantastic Four. The letters disappear in a spray of golden sparks. The sparks rain down from a welder's torch. The welder works on the head of a towering statue. A stout man with a shaved head and a man with dark wavy hair look up at it.
Typical of Victor Von Doom to build a 30-foot statue of himself.
Well, it's obviously aimed at first-time visitors to create feelings of smallness, inadequacy.
Good thing it ain't working. Reed, what are we doing here? This guy's fast food strip mall science.
This wasn't our first stop, in case you forgot. Besides, Victor's not that bad. He's just a little larger than life.
They head toward a sleek skyscraper. In a large office, Reed controls a projection of the solar system, which floats above an empty conference table.
My research suggests that exposure to a high-energy cosmic storm, born on solar wind, might have triggered the evolution of early planetary life. In 6 weeks, another cloud with the same elemental profile will pass Earth's orbit.
A man sits in shadow.
A study conducted in space could fundamentally advance our knowledge about the structure of the human genome. Cure countless diseases, extend human life, give kids a chance to live longer, stronger, healthier.
Turn it off. Please.
I don't think I've explained my proposal fully.
No, I think you have. Same old Reed, always stretching, reaching for the stars with the weight of the world on his back. But dreams don't pay the bills, do they?
The cover of Wired magazine reads Reed Richards bankrupt.
Remember, when we were in school, we talked about working together. Well, that's what I was about to explain.
Reed changes the projected image.
The storm is deadly, but the shields on your station's control room are designed to protect any occupants inside.
Victor turns up the lights, revealing his chiseled face.
So it's not just my money you want. It's my toys. Tell me, if NASA doesn't trust you, then why should I?
Reed and his stout friend share a surprised look. Victor grins.
That's my job. To stay a step ahead. To know what other men...
Can't take this.
Ben, this is business. Just work.
He's right, Ben. It is just business.
I think you both know my director of genetic research, Susan Storm.
As the blonde researcher approaches, Reed turns wide-eyed.
One more thing he's got. Hey, Susie.
Hey.
She hugs Ben.
Oh, it's so nice to see you. How's Debbie?
Great.
Great.
Sue faces Reed and her grin fades.
How've you been?
Never better.
She reaches out her hand, and he shakes it.
This isn't going to be a problem, is it?
Oh, not at all.
Good. Then you are just in time to hear the great Reed Richards ask me for help. You know, you made a lot of folks at MIT feel like a junior high science fair, so you'll excuse me if I savor the moment.
You back this mission, and I'll sign over a fair percentage of any applications...
Number 75. And its applications and patents.
What about his firstborn?
Ben.
Come on. 25% of a billion is enough to keep the lights on for a while, isn't it? Maybe even pay off your fourth mortgage on the Baxter building.
Reed and Ben glare.
Deal?
Victor holds out his hand to Reed. The scientist glances at Sue, then takes Victor's hand. Victor grins.
Well then, to our future.
He puts his arm around Sue.
Together.
Ben forces a smile.
It's funny how things turn out, isn't it?
Hilarious.
Later, Reed closes his briefcase.
You knew about NASA. Maybe he made the call to shut us down.
Ben, think about all the people we can help if this works, huh? Look, we got what we wanted. That's enough. A few days in space. It'll be great. What's the worst that can happen?
They leave. As Sue heads out another exit, she passes a young man on his way in.
Freed's right. This little trip could double our stock offerings.
And if he's not?
Reed's always right. Good thing he doesn't always know what he's got.
Meanwhile, Sue steps onto an elevator, followed by Reed and Ben. As she faces the doors, Reed briefly glances at her.
Reed, you should know those solar winds have been picking up speed.
Well, I factored them into my coordinates.
Right. Of course you did. In theory. It's a little different when you're out there.
I can assure you I factored...
When are we leaving?
I'll be scheduling the launch, so you can call me in the morning for resources and crew.
She holds out a business card.
I think I remember the number.
It's been changed.
Reed's smirk quickly fades, and he takes the card. Ben signals Reed with his eyes.
As far as crew, I was hoping Ben could pilot the mission.
We already have a pilot on our payroll, but you're welcome to ride shotgun. Remember my brother Johnny?
Reed's brow furrows, and Ben stares. Now a young man with long sideburns kisses a woman. She's behind the wheel of a moving convertible, and he's riding alongside her on a motorcycle. Grinning, Johnny speeds off ahead of the car. Standing on an industrial tower, Ben and Reed watch him through binoculars.
Can't do it. Cannot do it.
External SRBs, orbital system engines. It's just like the shuttle you flew.
No, I cannot take orders from the underwear model.
Oh, come on now,
that wingnut washed out of NASA for sneaking two Victoria's Secret wannabes into a flight simulator.
Youthful high spirits.
They crashed it into a wall. A flight simulator.
When have I ever asked you to do something you absolutely said you could not do?
Five times.
I had it at four.
Well, this makes five.
Reed leans against a railing and smirks. Meanwhile, Johnny speeds down a dirt road flanked on either side by water. Now in a locker room, Ben flips open an address book to a photo pressed inside. In it, a blonde woman hugs him from behind.
I miss you already, Debs.
Captain on the bridge!
As Ben stands at attention, Johnny snaps his picture.
Digital camera, $254. Memory stick, $59. The look on your hard-ass former CEO's face when he finds out he's your junior officer. Priceless.
Glaring, Ben zips up the collar of Johnny's skin-tight bodysuit.
Thank you. Sweet.
I can handle the ship. I can even handle Mr. Blonde Ambition. I don't know whether I should be flying or doing Swan Lake in these suits. I mean, who the hell came up with these?
Victor did. The synthetics act as a second skin, adapting to your body's individual needs.
See, now that means it keeps the hot stuff hot and it keeps the cool stuff cool.
Reed gapes at Sue's cleavage-revealing suit.
Fantastic. Material made from self-regulating unstable molecules.
She exchanges a look with Ben.
I've been working on a formula for this.
Great minds think alike.
As Reed studies the blue material, Sue hands Ben a flight suit.
Here you go, Ben.
Thanks, sweetie.
Reed?
She throws a flight suit at him as she strides past. Reed stares quizzically. Now far above the Earth, the shuttle soars toward a V-shaped space station with a spherical center. The shuttle eases its nose toward a large clamp extending from the sphere and comes to a complete stop. The clamp attaches to it. Words on a computer screen read, initiating airlock pressurization. On board the space station, Victor leads the crew down a corridor. Behind him, Johnny walks with Ben.
ETA until cosmic event, 9 hours.
If you're good, maybe next time Daddy will let you drive.
You keep talking and there won't be a next time.
As Reed stops to look out a window, Sue joins him.
Long way from the projection booth at the Hayden Planetarium, isn't it?
They look out at the Earth's surface. As Sue strides off, Reed smiles.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now in a control room.
We can monitor the cloud's approach and observe the test from here.
Is it safe?
The shields on the station should protect us.
Should?
What's the matter, Ben? You getting paranoid in your old age?
Let's start loading those samples. Get your suit ready, Ben.
Ben starts off.
So I see you're still doing all the heavy lifting. Maybe you should have stayed in the lab. Field work never suited you.
He does the talking. I do the walking. Got it?
So take a walk, Ben. Actually, if you'll all excuse me, I need to borrow Susan for a moment.
As Ben heads off again, Reed cocks his head.
Sure.
In another room, Johnny helps Ben into a bulky spacesuit.
Please tell me your guy's not trying to rekindle things with my sister again.
Of course not. Strictly business.
Yes, well, his eyes say differently, don't they?
Hey, two hearts got busted last time. Maybe she's not over it either.
Wow, Dr. Phil, that's deep. Let's think about that. You got Victor, more money than God, stud of the year. And you got Reed, world's dumbest smart guy, worth less than a postage stamp. That's a real toss-up.
Don't trouble your tiny little mind.
Don't wander off now, boy.
Johnny leaves Ben in a chamber with a container of plant samples.
Securing airlock chamber.
As a clear door lowers, closing off the chamber, Johnny gives Ben a salute and they exchange a thumbs up. Ben turns around. Reflected in his helmet's clear visor, a portal opens like an iris. Bright light illuminates the astronaut's serene smile. Meanwhile, Sue joins Victor in a sunken area of the spherical control room.
Surprised I agreed to Reed's proposal?
I understand the business reasons.
Well, when you're looking at your future, it doesn't hurt to find closure about the past.
He kisses her hand.
This isn't every man dreams he'll meet a woman he can give the world to. In my case, it's not just a metaphor.
He faces a slender, waist-high control panel and presses a button.
Opening viewing station shield.
All around them, dark panels lift from low, slanted windows. Sue steps toward one curved window and looks down on the earth below. Swirling clouds rest over huge masses of land and bright blue ocean. A slight glow radiates along the planet's curvature. Sue smiles peacefully. Elsewhere in the space station, Reed studies a report in front of a bank of computer monitors.
Event threshold in T-minus 9 minutes, 47 seconds.
That's impossible. It should be 7 hours.
Behind Sue's back, Victor closes a ring box containing a large square-cut diamond ring.
We've been together 2 years now.
It's been a good 2 years, Victor. The company's accomplished so much.
Right, of course, the company. But you see, I've come to realize that all the accomplishments in the world mean nothing without someone to share them with. I've lived my life unafraid of taking big steps. Now it's time to take the biggest step of all.
Victor.
If it helps, think of this as a promotion.
Victor,
I have 4 words.
He shows her the ring.
4 little words that can change our lives forever.
The cloud is accelerating. We've got minutes until it hits, not hours. Victor, that storm is deadly. We need to abort.
Get a grip, Reed. We didn't come all this way to lose our nerve at the first glitch. Just close the shields.
Ben is still out there.
So reel him in. But we came here to do a job. So let's do it quickly.
Victor, Reed's right. We have less than 6 minutes.
Reed races toward the airlock chamber.
Ben, you need to get inside now.
What's going on?
I ain't done arranging your flowers yet, egghead.
Ben, turn around.
A giant orange cloud reflects in Ben's visor. Ben faces the wide gap between him and the airlock portal.
Guys, I'm not gonna make it.
Ben, you gotta jump. It's the only way.
As the storm strikes his platform, Ben dives toward the portal. Inside, Victor touches a screen.
What are you doing?
Closing the shields.
You can't just leave them out there.
Watch me.
Eyes wide, Sue turns to leave.
You can't help them any more than I can.
I can try.
As Sue races off, Victor blinks thoughtfully. He turns a handle labeled shield control. Through a window, Sue sees the storm's vapors catching up to Ben. Now with Reed and Johnny.
Come on, Ben, you got it!
Okay, Johnny, get ready to close the portal.
Just feet from the opening, a glowing spark hits Ben in the back. A sparkling energy covers his body, and the force sends him flying into the chamber's clear door. In the control room, Victor shields his eyes from a flash of light. Outside, the fiery storm engulfs the whole space station. On the other side of the chamber's clear door, Reed watches Ben slump to the floor. Lifting his gaze, he sees the storm's energy bursting through the closed portal seams. It washes over him. The energy hits Johnny, then Sue, and the force suspends them in midair. Another wave of gold sparks passes over Reed, and his head lurches. Johnny leans back as another blast of energy surges over him. Sue holds out her hand, and a blast hits it directly. The screen goes black. Now whiteness fills our view. Slowly, a wood-paneled ceiling and fluorescent lighting comes into focus. Johnny looks down on us.
Wake up. Ben! Hey, rise and shine, big boy. How you feeling?
Where am I?
Back on Earth. We're in quarantine. Victor's medical facility.
Reed? Sue?
Oh, they're fine. Everybody else is fine.
What's wrong with me?
I swear to you, Ben, they've done everything humanly possible. The best plastic surgeons in the world are here, Ben. You had the best.
Give me that mirror.
I don't know if that's a good idea. They said the shock alone...
I said, give me that goddamn mirror!
Okay. Ben, just be strong.
Ben lifts the mirror in front of his face. He looks the same.
Unfortunately, the doctors just couldn't do anything to fix your face.
As Johnny races out, Ben throws the mirror toward him in the hall.
Hey, nice do. Liking the grandpa look.
What?
As Johnny takes off, Reed touches the hair above his ears. He peers at his reflection in a polished metal panel and notices streaks of white hair at his temple. Now Reed enters a room carrying a single white lily. Sue lies in a bed surrounded by large bouquets. A doctor looks up and shows Reed Sue's chart.
How's she doing?
Stable and her vitals are strong.
Blood panels show no irradiation. Good. You'll step up this protocol
every 4 hours, yes. We know what we're doing. Another day of observation and you're all clear.
As the doctor leaves, a nurse brings in a vase of orchids.
Oh, she's allergic to orchids.
Put the sunflowers by her bed. They're her favorites.
As Sue stirs drowsily, the nurse sets a vase filled with big yellow sunflowers beside her bed. Reed drops the lily into a wastebasket. Sue opens her eyes and gazes at the sunflowers. Now in a boardroom, Victor stands at the foot of a long table facing stern businessmen.
Well, Victor, the bank would like to congratulate you. I'm the fastest free fall since the Depression. We can't even give your stock away.
You know I can turn this around?
Well, you're going to have to, Victor, or we pull out.
The other men shift their gazes from Ned to Victor.
You have a week.
You're enjoying this, aren't you, Ned?
The board members stand. Ned joins them, peering through his wire-framed glasses.
1 week.
As they file out, Victor follows them with his eyes, then stares off thoughtfully. Now in the medical facility, Johnny exits his bathroom, pulling on his pants. A svelte brunette nurse points a finger at him.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where do we think we're going?
I don't know if we've noticed, but the sickest runs this side of the Alps are right outside that window.
Yeah, I've noticed. But there are rules here. You can't leave until we finish.
Until we finish the test. I know, I've never been good with rules. You let me know how those come out.
He puts on a jacket.
Do you want to help me with the zipper?
You know, this is not a ski resort.
He zips it up.
Not yet. Luckily, Grandma still sends care packages, though. You know, it's amazing. For an 80-year-old woman, you'd be...
She shoves a thermometer in his mouth.
You are trouble.
Trouble is my middle name.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And
his temperature soars.
I mean, you feel a little feverish.
Well, I've never felt better in my life. My God, you smell good. Listen, when do you get off work?
Four, but
I... Tell you what. You meet me at 401 at the top of the mountain. I'll give you a minute to freshen up. This is yours.
He kisses her.
That's mine.
As Johnny leaves with the snowboard, the nurse quizzically eyes his temperature reading. 209. On a veranda, Ben faces Reed.
How long was I out?
Hey, 3 days. Man, I was worried about you.
How are you feeling?
Solid. It was a close one, though, huh?
Yeah.
What was that about?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've been going over the figures again and again, and they all add up. I just don't understand. Maybe I should have aborted
you. Reed, it was a freak of nature. You couldn't have possibly predicted it. Let it go.
Ben looks down at a lower patio and notices Sue sitting alone.
You know, you live through something like this, it really makes you appreciate having the right woman in your life.
Yeah, you and Debbie are perfect.
I'm not talking about Debbie.
Reed follows Ben's sly gaze to Sue.
What? Come on. She's got a good thing with Victor. He's smart, he's powerful, he's successful.
Well, maybe you should date him then.
Ben, she ended up with the right guy. Things worked out for the best.
Reed pats Ben's shoulder and heads off.
Do I have to do everything myself?
Now, over snow-capped mountaintops, a helicopter weaves low. Inside it, Johnny and his nurse sit behind the pilot at an open side door. They both wear ski gear and goggles pushed up over their caps. As the chopper lowers toward a slope, the force of its spinning rotor blades pushes the snow below away in a swirling cloud. Johnny looks down.
All right, I think you should stay to the right. The left might give you trouble. I think we should drop like 10 more feet.
Good.
The nurse lowers her goggles and jumps 15 feet to the slope below. Johnny faces the pilot.
My future wife!
Johnny lowers his goggles, leaps out on his snowboard, and hits the slope gliding. Johnny and his date zigzag down the slope, ramping off drifts and spraying snow as they lean and bank. The nurse jumps off a snow mound. Johnny follows, doing a 360.
All right, no more kid stuff. Check this out.
Johnny leaves a trail of black smoke as he soars over another mound and does a backflip. Skiing alongside, the nurse gives a startled double take.
You're on fire!
Thanks,
you're pretty good too.
No, you're on fire!
Flames lick at his arms and neck. As Johnny speeds down the slope, patting out the flames, the nurse loses her balance and falls. Behind his tinted goggles, Johnny's eyes widen. He soars off a cliff. His arms flail wildly. His entire body bursts into flames. The snowboard breaks away and he crashes into an embankment. The nurse skis up to the impact. Johnny sits naked in a melting snowbank, waist deep in a pool of steamy, bubbling water.
Care to join me?
Grinning, the nurse shrugs and drops her ski poles. Now, back at the medical facility, Ben and Sue enter a lounge.
I can only stay for one drink because I have to meet Victor.
Oh, wouldn't want to keep Vic waiting.
Reed approaches.
Reed, what are you doing here? I thought...
They exchange confused glances.
Great. Maybe you can join us.
With Victor.
How's the IPO now?
It's fallen. We're looking at low 20s. It's a good number, considering the fallout from...
Reed's disaster? Get me on the AM shows. Larry King, cover of the journal.
He studies a scar on his temple.
I have to do something about this scar. Make sure they only shoot me from my left side.
Actually, the scar's tracking well. People seem to think it humanizes you.
Victor approaches a dinner table.
And that's a good thing?
As he reaches for his glass, the silverware trembles beneath his hand.
You know, maybe you should get some rest.
Later. First, I have some unfinished business. A deal that needs closing.
Sir, I have always wondered, why Sue? You could have any other woman in the world, but...
That's why. Because I could have any other woman.
In the lounge, the three old friends sit at a table. Suddenly, Ben touches his chest and his smile fades.
Wow.
You all right?
Bad shrimp. I think I better go lie down.
He wipes his face.
Excuse me.
As Ben leaves, Reed folds his napkin and faces Sue's smile. Now on Victor's table, three low melting candles illuminate the mogul's scowl. He strokes his chin. In the lounge.
So you feeling better?
Yes. Thank you.
Good. That's, good.
Sue shakes her head.
You always had a way with words.
Reed nods uneasily. Sue's expression sobers.
Well, I should be going. Because, I have to meet Victor.
I'm really happy for you and Victor.
You're really happy for me and Victor?
I can tell you guys are enjoying what was the best part of our relationship.
Which was?
Passion. For science.
You're such a dork, Reed. You never got it. And you never will.
Well, what did I say?
Unless it's explained to you in quantum physics.
I just wanted to let you know that I was...
It's been 2 years and all you can say is that you're happy for me and some other guy? Victor may be a lot of things, but at least he's not afraid to fight for what he wants. It's nice to be wanted sometimes, Reed.
Reed averts his gaze.
To be seen and heard.
Sue vanishes, leaving a vague shimmering form in her sweater.
Look at me.
Reed lifts his gaze and his eyes widen.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Look at me!
Sue, look at your hands.
Sue's bracelet and wristwatch float over the table. As she knocks over a wine bottle, Reed's forearm stretches like rubber and he catches it. He stares as his elastic arm shrinks back to normal, drawing the bottle back to the tabletop. Sue reappears. Johnny runs in, holding the nurse's pink parka around his bare waist.
Hey, you guys. Hey, you are never going to believe what just happened to me.
They stare.
What?
He looks down at the parka.
Well, I can explain this.
Now, sitting by a fireplace, Victor runs his hand through his hair. His eyes widen as he notices several strands of loose hair in his fingers. Running his hand through again, he removes a large clump. Victor approaches a small mirror. As he grips its ornate metal base, the lights dim. He lets go, and lights return. Meanwhile, Ben grips a bathroom sink. Sweat glistens on his head as he staggers out. In the hall, Johnny follows Reed and Sue.
It has to be the cloud. It's fundamentally altered our DNA.
Let's not jump to conclusions. We need a massive amount of evidence before making that leap.
Whoa! Guys! Look!
Johnny shows his flaming fingertips, snapping it on and off like a cigarette lighter.
Now picture that. But everywhere. It was everywhere.
He shrugs joyfully.
What?
Sue shifts her wide-eyed gaze to Reed.
The cloud has fundamentally altered our DNA.
Cool! And you know what, guys? I think I was flying.
We need to find Ben.
Now Ben writhes in bed. Screens monitoring his brain and heart flash warnings. As the others reach his door, Johnny snaps the flame on and off.
Hang on,
Johnny.
Hey, Ben, Miss Reed.
Stop.
All right.
All right?
Yes.
God. What's wrong with you?
Sue, what? You know the code?
In Ben's room, a giant form bulges under the covers, and the monitor's body mass index nears 700. The bed collapses.
Hey, Ben, open up!
You all right, Ben? Hey, does somebody have keys to these doors?
Sue punches numbers on the keypad.
Anybody?
At the door, Reed eyes his hand.
Just break the glass. It can't be that thick.
Reed lowers his hand to the floor, palm up. Staring intently, he brings the tips of his fingers to the door's threshold, and they squeeze into the quarter-inch gap, causing the rest of his fingers to bulge. Slowly, his whole hand flattens like a pancake as it slides under the door. On the other side, it regains its shape. Reed flexes his fingers. Sue watches with a furrowed brow. Reed peers through the slender window in the door as his arm stretches up past the handle to a deadbolt. He turns the lock. Sue and Johnny stare with wonder. The scientist pulls his flattened fingers from under the door, straightens, and faces his friends.
That's gross.
They barge into the room. A hole smashed through the wall opens toward the mountains.
Ben?
Johnny points.
Look.
Holding the parka up with one hand, he approaches with the others.
What is that?
A monstrous shadow moves in the night.
What's going on?
Victor enters.
What happened in here?
Victor, are you feeling all right?
I'm fine. Just a few scrapes, that's all.
Ben did this. He's had some kind of reaction to exposure from the cloud.
We all have, different symptoms.
Symptoms?
Victor, I should have...
Just find him.
Victor walks away from Sue's imploring gaze.
Anybody got any ideas where the big guy's going?
Reed lowers his gaze to the floor and notices the photo of Debbie and Ben.
He's going home.
Now a lit bridge spans a wide river. In a dark rail yard, train cars sit idle. As one boxcar's door slides open, a dim light casts a monstrous shadow of great height and girth on the wooden wall. The creature jumps to the ground and tromps off. Now a storefront reads, "Men's big and tall selections available." Later at a payphone, an orange stony hand picks up its receiver. A finger as thick as a water pipe pokes toward the keypad.
You gotta be kidding me.
The massive finger pounds at the tiny buttons. He hangs up.
The buttons. Hello, operator.
At a nearby house, a light goes on in the window.
Hello?
Debs? It's me.
Ben? Are you all right? You sound a little different.
Listen, I need you to come out front.
Debbie pulls back a curtain.
You're home, baby?
She sees a figure in a fedora and trench coat at the payphone.
I got a surprise for you.
Yeah, I got a little one for you, too.
Now Debbie walks outside wearing a robe and negligee.
Ben?
Ben hides behind a tree.
Where are you?
I'm over here.
She quickens her pace.
Don't come any closer for a sec, okay? It's gonna be a bit of a shock.
Honey, what's going on?
Debs, remember when we used to say, together forever, no matter what?
Yeah. Maybe you're scaring me.
As Ben plods out from behind the tree, his massive rock-plated hand removes his hat and holds it in front of his face. Facing Debbie, he slowly lowers it, revealing his crackled orange stone features.
Oh my God.
Deb, it's me. It's still me. It was the accident. Let me explain.
No, don't touch me!
Debs!
As Debbie runs across the street, a taxi slams on its brakes. The cab driver gets out and spots Ben.
Hey!
Ben puts on his hat, tromps away, then breaks into a run. Daytime. Reed, Sue, and Johnny share a cab heading toward the Brooklyn Bridge. Reed stares worriedly out the window. Meanwhile, Ben sits on the edge of the bridge with his head in his hand. The river glistens far below his feet.
Oh, yeah, Ben. A few days in space. It'll be great. What's the worst that could happen?
A pigeon perches on Ben's shoulder. His sad eyes shift toward the bird.
Hey, little guy. You're not afraid of me, are you?
The pigeon flies off, leaving a white poop stain on Ben's shoulder.
Perfect.
He looks skyward.
Thanks.
As Ben wipes at his shoulder, a man in a business suit steps onto the girder beside him. He holds a briefcase to his chest. Ben eyes the distraught man and watches him drop the briefcase into the water. The man balances precariously as he walks out onto the beam.
Hey!
The man wobbles.
You think you got problems? You take a good look, pal. How bad could it be, right? I don't think you...
The man backs along the beam over the highway.
Okay, pal. Take it easy. No. Don't go out there.
Ben steps onto the beam with him.
Fruitcake? No. Come close. That's fine. Come closer. I said stop. No.
The man falls, catching himself on a power line.
Feet!
The man lifts his legs out of the way of an oncoming truck. He drops into the stream of traffic. As a taxi veers to avoid the businessman, Ben jumps to the pavement. A semi barrels toward them. Ben braces himself and throws his shoulder into the truck, smashing its front end and stopping it in its tracks. Onlookers crowd an overhead walkway. Ben yanks the man to his feet. Cars swerve to a stop, ramming into each other and creating a pileup. A taxi plows into a truck carrying slender gas canisters. Down the road, traffic pulls to a stop, including the cab carrying his three friends. Reed, Johnny, and Sue get out, trading worried looks. Meanwhile, Ben stands amid the mass of wrecked cars.
Calm down.
The businessman cowers.
You want to be scared? Fine!
He flees. As more onlookers gather on the bridge's overhead walkway, people stagger out of their crumpled, smoldering vehicles. Ben notices the trucker stirring in his demolished semi. As the police hold back the crowd, Reed and the others arrive.
Tell you when you can go!
What do we do now?
We're not going to get past these guys. But you could.
Ben rips the semi's door off. As the trucker's eyes widen, Ben smiles bashfully.
Sorry about the truck, pal. Come on. Little help here. You want to hit the button, sir?
The man tugs on his seatbelt. Meanwhile, Sue vanishes.
Sue, your clothes. Lose them.
Oh, right.
This is so wrong.
Johnny looks away as the suspended clothes peel off Sue's invisible form. As she reaches for her bra hook, she reappears, then quickly covers up.
Wow, you've been working out.
Shut up.
Meanwhile, Ben tears out the trucker's steering wheel, then lifts his whole seat out. Policemen aim their pistols at him.
All right, freeze! Now just put the man in the seat down. Do it!
Ben trades a glance with the trucker, then lowers him. Nearby, Sue holds her jacket around her torso.
Any more great ideas? Why don't you strip down and have 100 people stare at you?
Sue.
She slowly vanishes again. As she drops the jacket, Johnny keeps his eyes averted.
I'm gonna need therapy.
Sue's bra and panties drop to the pavement.
Hey, come on, let's get out of here.
Johnny gathers up his sister's clothes.
Excuse me? Coming through.
As Sue bumps invisibly past the onlookers, Johnny and Reed circle around the distracted crowd.
Now, just back away from them. And, I want you to put your hands on your head, right?
As sparks burst from an electrical box, Ben flees. A bullet ricochets off his back. Now a fire truck speeds onto the bridge.
Ladder 54 approaching scene.
Still can't believe you made me do that.
We got through, didn't we? Just fine, Ben.
As Sue finishes redressing, Reed makes his way through the wrecked cars. Sue climbs on top of a taxi.
Ben! Ben!
As her hulking friend emerges from around a van, she gapes. Johnny notices a young girl trapped between the cars. A smoldering canister explodes and Johnny leaps over the cars. He shields the girl just as fire erupts around them. Ben ducks as cars go flying over his head and tumble along the bridge. Johnny absorbs the flames encircling him and the girl. The fire truck swerves around the tumbling cars. A Dalmatian in front covers its snout as the back end of the ladder truck slides off the edge of the bridge, destroying supports as it skids. More canisters erupt. Sue flinches and projects a force field containing the explosion. The flames surge and waver beneath the translucent bubble. Meanwhile, the ladder truck inches to a halt and a fireman dangles off the end. A taxi splashes in the river far below him. Sue strains to push back the fiery eruption. As it dissipates, her arms hang wearily.
Okay?
Johnny leaves the rescued girl. Meanwhile, firemen crawl along the truck ladder to the dangling man. The truck's end tilts further toward the water, and the firemen slide down the ladder. As the truck teeters over the edge, a stone hand grabs the rising front end. Ben strains, halting its movement. As one fireman crawls further down the ladder toward his dangling friend, Ben tugs the truck back down. As the truck levels out, the ladder's swivel breaks away and its tip extends. One fireman frantically tries to climb back up the moving ladder. The other, on the tip, clings to the last rung as it extends over the river. Ben's large feet dig into the asphalt and the truck inches farther over the edge. Reed hurries closer and spots the two dangling firemen. The first hand slips from the back bumper and he plummets toward the water. He suddenly lurches to a halt. The fireman looks over his shoulder at Reed.
I gotcha.
His long, stretchy arms reel in the fallen man. Meanwhile, Ben grimaces as he pulls at the vehicle. The ladder truck grinds slowly back onto the bridge and levels out. On the bridge, the rescued firefighter backs away from Reed. Pedestrians and police officers watch from the overhead walkway as Ben tugs the massive truck back to safety. More emergency vehicles and a helicopter arrive. As the firemen on the ladder work their way back toward the bridge, Ben heaves for breath. Policemen surround him, guns drawn.
This is the police. Get down on the ground.
No, he's a hero.
Get down on the ground now.
The citizens cheer and a fireman eases an officer's gun down. More police hold Reed and the others back. Ben faces the applauding firefighters all around him and the pedestrians above. One holds a news camera. A blonde woman pushes through the crowd. It's Debbie. She stops at the edge of the circle and Ben notices her. As he steps toward her, she backs away, holds up her hand, and looks at him sadly. He stops and Debbie shakes her head. Her gaze falls to a diamond ring on her finger. She eases it off, then places it on the pavement at her feet. Ben takes a step toward her as she weaves back out through the crowd. Reed watches Ben march over to where she stood. He stares off after her, then kneels down. His huge stone fingers grasp for the delicate ring as he tries unsuccessfully to pick it up. Sue and Johnny watch him sympathetically. Another hand reaches in and picks it up. Ben shifts his eyes to Reed, who places the ring gently in his friend's four-fingered hand. They stand together and face each other.
I swear to you,
I will do everything in my power until there is not a breath left in me. You're gonna be Ben again.
Ben nods grimly. Later in a first aid tent, Ben stares at the ring cradled in his hand. A paramedic removes a blood pressure cuff from Sue's arm.
Told you I felt fine.
Where are your ears?
Ben shifts his eyes to Johnny's casual gaze. A fire chief enters the tent.
There's some folks outside that want to talk to you.
I'm not going public with this. We're scientists, not celebrities.
It's too late, son. Look.
He switches on a TV.
When a New York Fire Department ladder truck
became...
A news footage caption reads, "The Fantastic Four."
Not the story. One of the four stretched to an amazing length.
That's what they're calling you. The Fantastic Four.
Cool.
No, wait. Where are you going?
I'm going to go talk to him.
No, we should think this through.
That's great. Brainstorm.
As Johnny heads out, Reed and Sue dart off after him.
Get back here right now. Johnny!
Johnny raises his arms to a throng of reporters.
Sit there!
As camera flashes pulse, the others catch up.
You believe this?
Which one of you is the leader?
That would be me.
No, seriously.
Sue nudges Reed forward.
Okay, son, you're on.
As the fire chief walks off, Reed steps reluctantly up to the crowded barricade. Reporters lean over with microphones, and men hold up news cameras.
During our recent mission to the Von Doom space station, we were exposed to as yet unidentified radioactive energy.
What happened on
the bridge? Is it hurting you, Stretch?
Were you really on fire?
If it's true, you can fly.
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's actually really difficult.
Actually, we do not know much more than you do at this point.
In Victor's office.
Sir, Larry King just canceled. Apparently, there's a bigger story.
Victor changes the stock report to the news.
Greatest. Actually, here they come now. You had to see it to believe it, folks. The man named the Fantastic Four.
We will be going directly to our lab to diagnose our symptoms.
Symptoms? Is this some kind of disease?
No. It's not a disease. Symptoms. If having special powers is a disease, then yeah, we got it bad.
Excuse me, that thing doesn't look so fantastic.
Ben Grimm is a genuine American hero.
What he
means
is every team needs a mascot.
John.
A new day is dawning. The day of the Fantastic Four.
Johnny drapes his arms around them with a charming smile. Reed brushes him off.
Look, we went up to space to find a way to understand DNA. Cure disease, save lives. Well, now it's our DNA. Our disease, our lives on the line. Thank you, no more questions.
Now in the boardroom.
This is how you turn things around? These freaks on the front page? Your companies in the obituaries?
I was planning to use the publicity.
The board's in agreement. The bank's lost enough already.
Wait a minute.
It's too late, Victor.
Do you know how much money I've invested in this company?
Victor, stop. This isn't a negotiation, it's a notification. We're pulling out.
Our view slowly pulls toward Victor's stunned face as the background recedes. Now our view moves toward a multi-story modular penthouse atop a towering skyscraper. At the base, a crowd of fans mass around the entrance. Mounted policemen in barricades hold back the onlookers. A police escort pulls up to the curb, led by motorcycles. Officers open a squad car's door, and Johnny gets out smiling. The crowd reflects in his stylish sunglasses. Sue and Reed get out of the other side with puzzled looks. Ben exits the rear door of a large police van wearing his fedora and trench coat. The truck rises as he steps off. Inside the building, a gray-haired doorman greets them.
Is all that for you, Dr. Richards?
I'm afraid so.
Johnny plays to the crowd with a big grin.
Come on, Ben, smile. I want to like you, Ben. Say hi.
Ben stops near a group of kids who stop cheering.
Don't do drugs.
The kids gape fearfully. Inside, Johnny nods to the doorman, then Ben trudges past. A mailman greets them.
Welcome back to the Baxter, Dr. Richards. I've got the usual for you. Good to have you back, sir.
Thanks, Willie.
Reed flips through the stack of past due letters, then eyes Sue.
We had a tough year.
Yeah, like 9 straight.
They all enter an elevator. Johnny leans against the ornate wood paneling. The car lurches a bit.
Either we're moving really fast or not at all.
A sign flashes, exceed maximum weight. Ben shifts his eyes to the others, and Johnny smirks.
I'll take the stairs.
Ben exits glumly. He looks back at his friends as the elevator doors close.
How come Ben can't turn it on and off like we can?
That's what we're here to find out.
I mean, if it happened to him.
What? You mean like we won't be able to turn it off either?
Reed shrugs.
That would save time.
You don't really want to walk around on fire for the rest of your life, do you?
Is that a trick question?
Grow up.
Come on. I'm the only guy who thinks this is cool.
Reed marches off.
We should stay here until we can define the extent of our changes and figure out how to reverse them.
Johnny and his sister follow.
Whoa.
Believe it or not, he lives here.
But I have to warn you, it's going to be a little crowded in some areas.
Lights illuminate a huge three-story laboratory. A catwalk circles the equipment-filled room.
So, what do you think?
I don't know, Reed. I think you might be bringing your work home with you.
Come on. Let me show you guys where we'll be staying.
Busy guy.
As Reed rolls up his sleeves and exits, Johnny follows. Later outside, Victor exits a black town car.
Mr. Bondu, would you like to comment on the recent failure of your IPO?
What about the rumors of a takeover?
Back upstairs, Sue places some clothes in a dresser. She finds a scrapbook embossed with the word memories. Her damp hair hangs down to her robe's shoulders as she opens the book. News clippings show pictures of a young Reed. One headline reads, Teen Wins International Science Prize. Her smile fades as she finds a page of photos of her and Reed at MIT.
God, I was so worried about you.
Victor, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to call.
He steps in.
Please. No apologies. I've arranged for your things to be moved to one of my condos. You'll have round-the-clock care.
Thank you. That's very generous of you. But I think I should stay here with my brother. Until we get a handle on things.
Susan, I think you should let my doctors have a look at you.
Victor.
Reed enters.
What are you doing here?
I'm starting to wonder the same thing. How much do you know about what happened to you?
Not much. We need to run tests to see the extent of the damage.
Well, you let me know what I can do. We're all in this together now.
Victor stands for a moment between Sue and Reed. Noticing their eye contact, he politely exits. Reed catches up to him at the elevator.
Victor, wait. I just wanted to say I'm sorry the mission didn't go as planned.
Didn't go as planned? It was a catastrophe. You ruined the lives of four people.
With all due respect, we're both to blame. I told you to abort.
Abort? I put my company,
my name, billions of dollars on the line. I will not let you make me look like a fool.
Victor, if we could understand...
I don't want to understand it!
The lights flicker.
This isn't one of your science projects. I just want to fix it. Fast.
Is there a problem?
The lights stop flickering as Victor spots Ben nearby.
No problem, Ben. Just pay your damn electric bill and get to work on finding a cure.
Victor turns away and steps into the elevator. He locks eyes with Reed as the doors close. Glowering, Victor punches the elevator door. He dents the golden panel. He slowly withdraws his fist, gaping at silvery metal covering his knuckles. Now Johnny stands in an enclosed space. Flames rise from his hand. He flicks his wrist, and the flames envelop his body like a molten sheath. As heat emanates from slits in the metal box, Sue and Reed analyze data.
He's heating up from his core.
And his vitals are completely normal.
Later.
If we're going to identify the source of the mutation, we need to isolate your recombinant DNA so we can activate positional genomes.
Huh? We have to do a physical in order to see what got zapped.
Oh, why didn't you just say so?
His internal organs are completely solid.
An x-ray shows Ben's crackled rock heart pumping.
How bad is it? You know, I used to smoke.
Now Reed analyzes Sue.
It's not invisibility per se. You should be able to bend light around other objects, even people, if you could control your emotional state better.
Her jaw tenses.
Excuse me?
I'm saying if you had a little more self-control, you could locate the trigger. Can you remember your exact emotions on the bridge?
Anger? Rage, frustration.
Okay, is there any way to duplicate that feeling, some memory or?
I'm sure I can come up with something. You feel anything?
Nope.
Sue lowers a reflex hammer.
Okay.
Reed whacks Ben's knee with a real hammer. His leg extends, kicking a chair across the room, back at Johnny's test.
It's hotter than I anticipated.
Okay, Johnny, back it down.
I can go hotter!
Johnny, just back it down.
As Johnny tenses, his flames turn white hot. The box's outer titanium plates glow. Reed shields his eyes as the temperature gauge rises rapidly.
Johnny, back it down right now!
As Johnny's feet lift off the floor, Reed slams a button. They look through a melted hole at Johnny, covered with ice crystals.
Buzzkill! You guys are cramping my style!
Johnny, you were at 4,000 Kelvin. Any hotter and you're approaching supernova.
Sweet!
No, not sweet. That's the temperature of the sun.
Not only could you kill yourself, but you could set fire to Earth's atmosphere and destroy all human life as we know it.
Got it. Supernova. Bad.
During Sue's test, a platter-sized electronic magnifying lens shows Sue's invisible form. She scowls at Reed through it.
How's that coming?
The air ripples around her. She sends out a force wave, knocking Reed off his chair.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No.
You okay?
Yeah, fine.
You sure?
Yep.
She helps him up, and he moves away stiffly.
Probably thought that was some form of latent hostility.
What in the world gave me that idea?
They coldly gather the scattered papers, and Sue abruptly steps away. Reed whirls around.
I mean, you broke up with me, right?
Are you kidding?
No. I distinctly remember you walked out my door, ergo...
I was ready for the next step. You weren't. Ergo, I walked.
I think it was a little bit more complicated than that.
I just wanted to share an apartment. What was so complicated about that?
There were a lot of variables to consider.
No, there weren't. There was you and me. There were no variables, no math. It was actually the simplest thing in the world. But like always, Reed, your head got in the way.
No, it didn't.
Then what was it?
As he meets her gaze, Sue shrugs with a smile.
Did you feel anything when I left? Do you feel anything right now?
Hey, guys.
Johnny enters wearing a torn smoking t-shirt.
I think we have a serious problem.
Reed walks toward him, rubbing his neck. Sue looks away, now in an exam room. A computer renders Victor's arm in 3D. It reads metallic alloy detected.
So what's the prognosis?
Your tissue, your organs, your entire biophysical structure is changing. Every system is still functioning somehow.
And it's changing into?
I don't really know. Some kind of organic metallic alloy. Stronger than titanium or carbon steel, harder than diamonds.
Like the shields Reed said would protect us.
Victor eyes his forearm. On the healthy flesh, silvery muscles stretch to his fingers.
How long?
At this rate, the infection could be complete in 2, maybe 3 weeks.
What do you mean, complete?
I wish I could tell you. I can't pretend to know what we're dealing with here. I'll have to notify the CDC.
What?
Center for Disease Control.
I know what it is.
If this thing is contagious, we may have a big problem on our hands. We're talking about an epidemic here.
Look at me.
Victor approaches the doctor.
I have a life. I'm the face of a billion-dollar company. We need to keep this confidential.
Victor, this disease is progressive, degenerative. I have to notify someone.
He grabs the man's throat.
That's terrible news.
Victor throws him into a light panel displaying x-rays. He eyes the motionless doctor on the floor.
I think I'll get a second opinion.
Now a camera view shows Victor a live transmission of Reed working in the Baxter Building lab. Victor tugs a staple from his facial scar and tosses it. Now Reed's hand makes complex equations on a chalkboard. His hand finishes the notation several yards away from his body, then retracts to his side. Later, a computerized microscope magnifies the fiber on one of the body suits. As Reed peers into the eyepiece, a message types out, "Analysis, molecules unstable."
Our uniforms were exposed to the storm, like us, so they can transform like us. Becoming invisible, changing size on demand, or remaining impervious to flame.
You guys look like an 80s rock band.
You know, Ben, this material stretches. I'm sure I can figure out a way to make it fit.
I wouldn't be caught dead wearing that.
I love these costumes. They're missing something, though, right? It's like spice.
They're not costumes.
You can't use your powers in public, Johnny.
You guys are worse than NASA.
Johnny!
Maybe it's missing a utility belt.
Later, Sue follows a busy sidewalk. A newsstand catches her eye.
Hey, you got us a change?
Her face is on People magazine.
Can I help you, buddy? Sue Storm. It's the Invisible Woman.
As a dozen New Yorkers follow her, Sue quickens her pace. Rounding a corner, she throws off her coat.
I can't believe I'm doing this again.
Her fans round the corner and halt, finding a trail of discarded clothes. Now in Reed's lab, Ben squeezes a bag of oranges, juicing them all at once.
I'm here. Let's make this quick. I got a lot of places to go today.
Oh, wait.
Johnny takes Ben's juice bowl.
I don't go anywhere.
Johnny, it's imperative that we stay inside for the foreseeable future.
Ben tries to grab a fork.
When you said that last time, my brain hurt a week.
Johnny, it's too dangerous for you to be in public.
You've been saying that for years.
What worries me is that our powers are evolving.
I know.
Ben manages to fork a fruit slice.
So close to flying, guys.
Johnny's napkin ignites.
You can't fly.
Yet.
Johnny, can you put that napkin out?
He pats the flaming napkin with his hands.
So what's going on, Reed? How are you gonna cure us?
I'm gonna build a machine to recreate the storm.
He shows a diagram.
The cosmic rays will travel from this generator to this chamber.
What, no pop-ups?
If I can reverse the wave signal...
It'll return us back to normal.
Ben smiles at his fork, then takes a bite.
Huh. Right, but what are the risks?
Even a small miscalculation could increase our symptoms exponentially.
Ben bites off the fork tip.
Or perhaps even kill us.
Now, dying. That's bad, right?
I say we just let sleeping dogs lie, guys.
So how long till this contraption's up and running?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
How long, Reed?
I don't know.
You don't know?
You don't want this to get worse.
Worse than that?
Guys, look, we're gonna be stuck here for a while, so let's just try and get along.
Now Ben naps on a couch with shaving cream piled in his palm. Johnny touches a feather duster to Ben's face. Now as Reed enters the bathroom, Sue covers up with a towel and quickly turns invisible.
Oh, you can knock!
Sorry.
At night, Reed sketches at his drafting table. Now while Ben naps, Johnny tickles his face with the duster's handle. In his sleep, Ben brushes it away with his empty hand. Johnny frowns. Now at a mirror, Reed eyes his lathered cheek, then stretches his jowl way down and shaves. Later, he finishes a draft of the mutation chamber. Now Johnny gawks. Reed's arm elongates from a doorway and crosses the hall in front of him. It withdraws, gripping a roll of toilet paper. Now Johnny tickles Ben's cheek as he naps. Ben slaps his shaving cream-filled hand to his own face.
Johnny!
Now a newspaper headline reads, Doom for Von Doom. The paper lies by a sink where Victor uses his metal-coated hand to turn off the faucet. Breathing heavily, he queasily looks at his reflection. As he reaches for a towel, a large spark shoots from an outlet to his hand. Victor looks at it curiously, then reaches toward the socket again. The bright electric current flows from the socket into his metallic hand. He pulls his hand away, drawing the electricity closer. As he makes a fist, the current stops and the lights go out. Now in a parking garage, Ned walks toward a sleek sports car.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Water drips down from the roof beside the driver's side door. Approaching it, Ned sets down his briefcase and steps closer. The fluorescent lights above his head flicker and dim. Shrugging slightly, the board member takes a few steps away from his car into the middle of the lot.
Hello?
Figure stands in a doorway on the other side of the garage.
Victor?
Victor steps closer.
What's with these lights, huh? About the IPO. No hard feelings, right? Nothing personal.
Victor's metallic fingers twitch.
You know, you could always move back to Latveria. Start fresh. Maybe that's where you belong. The old country.
As Ned starts back to his car, Victor shoots a powerful current at him. It burns a 6-inch hole straight through his chest. The board member twitches, then drops stiffly to his back. As Victor stands over him, his reflection ripples in a puddle.
Nothing personal, Ned. But I'm not going anywhere.
Now at the Baxter building. In the lab, Reed oversees a dozen technicians and scientists working on the mutation generator and chamber. In the living quarters, Johnny opens some Jiffy Pop. As he carries it to the couch, the foil covering puffs up. On TV, a motocross rider performs an aerial stunt.
I gotta get out of here.
On his way out, he passes the bodysuits hanging in a closet. Backing up, he looks one over. Now Johnny speeds out of a parking garage in a red Porsche. Its license plate reads, "Torched." Later, as he stops at a red light, a guy in a muscle car pulls up next to him. The guy nods and revs his engine.
Hey, pretty boy, let's see what you got.
Johnny calmly looks over at the burly driver. Dozens of pedestrians cross in front of their cars.
Where's your hot sister and a monster?
Grinning, Johnny nods and gives the guy a little thumbs up.
Let's go!
As the light turns, the muscle car lurches. Smiling, Johnny speeds off. Flames lick at the muscle car's melted tires. Now in the motocross arena, two riders fly off side-by-side jumps. As a third soars between them, he holds onto the seat and kicks his legs out behind him.
Mr. Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four!
Wearing motocross gear, Johnny races up a ramp. As his bike flies through the air, he does a handstand on the handlebars.
Look at that lift!
Johnny straddles his bike again, seconds before landing safely on the ground.
That was fantastic! John, come on! That's old school! Show us something new!
Heat ripples the air around him.
Something new. You got it.
He speeds up the ramp again. As he hits the air, he lets go of his bike and performs two backflips. His bike soars out of reach.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on, Johnny, come on!
He bursts into flames.
Is he flying?
Johnny rockets briefly through the air. Suddenly, the flames die out and he plummets, arms flailing. As he tumbles down a dirt ramp, his bike skids into a wall. Lying on his back, Johnny lowers his warped goggles. Medics and other riders crowd around him.
I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm good. He's okay! He's all right! Johnny Storm, ladies and gentlemen!
I have to give you props, Johnny. You were on fire!
Johnny rips off his burnt motocross gear, revealing the bodysuit. A circled number 4 emblem shines on the chest. As he revels in the applause, the others notice him on TV.
He did.
Oh, yes, he did. Flame Boy never listens.
What did he do to his uniform?
Reed sheepishly hides his own emblem.
Johnny, I've got to ask you about this outfit.
Yeah, it's sort of Armani meets astronaut.
So what are your superhero names?
They call me the Human Torch. Ladies call me Torch.
What about the rest of the team?
That's the Invisible Girl.
What about your leader, Reed Richards? I hear you call him Mr. Fantastic.
Could have been worse,
I guess. Is it true what they say about him, that he can expand any part of his anatomy?
Well, I've always found him to be a little limp.
Ben's photo appears on a big screen.
What is that? What do you call that thing?
That's it.
The thing. Yeah, you think this is bad, you should have seen him before.
Okay. Now I'm gonna go kill him.
Outside the arena, Johnny works his way through a crowd of reporters and fans with a beautiful woman on each arm. Sue Reed and Ben arrive.
There he is.
As Sue and Reed hurry toward Johnny, Ben stops, noticing the red Porsche and its license plate. Sue approaches her brother.
Johnny.
Can we talk about this later,
no,
guys?
We can't talk about this later.
We can't.
What are you
sit
walking?
Home. Where's my ride?
Totally.
A crumpled ball of tires and red metal lands in front of him. Johnny gapes as the 3-foot ball rolls to a stop. The license plate hits him in the head. Ben approaches.
You think that's funny, Pebbles?
Johnny.
What?
You gave us names? You don't think. So now you're the face of the Fantastic Four?
A face that's about to be broken.
Look, this isn't permanent, Johnny. We need to be careful until we're normal again.
What if I don't want to be normal? I didn't turn into a monster.
Ben raises his fist, glaring at Johnny, then walks away.
Johnny, say you're sorry.
A fireball strikes him in the back. Ben turns.
Did you just...
Another hits his face.
That's it, Tinkerbell!
No, Ben.
You wanna fly?
Ben.
Then fly!
As Reed gets between them, Ben punches through his elastic stomach and sends Johnny sailing into a Burger King billboard.
Wait a minute, guys! Ben, don't do this!
Let's see if we can get blood from a stone.
Johnny,
Let's see. Bring it, Burnout.
You two need a timeout.
Sue gets between them, projecting a force field. Ben leaves.
Talk to Blockhead. He started it.
I don't care. Damn it, Johnny.
Sue goes after her friend.
Ben, wait.
Johnny glares at Reed.
What?
He walks around his crumpled car and kicks it.
You need to control yourself and think before you act.
Yeah, but see, that's your problem, Reed. You always think you never act. What if we got these powers for a reason? What if it's like some higher calling?
A higher calling, like getting girls and making money?
Is there any higher? You know what, Reed? This is who we are. Accept it. Or better yet, enjoy it.
On a busy sidewalk, Sue catches up to Ben.
Wait, Ben! Slow down. He didn't mean it. You know Johnny. He's always been a hothead.
It ain't him. It's them!
The people around him flinch.
I can't live like this.
Just give Reed a little more time. You know how he works, analyzing every little step before he takes one.
Well, it's easy for you to be patient.
No, it's not! I thought I was done waiting for Reed. But I... We're all in this together, Ben.
Together? Susie, look at me. You got no idea what I'm... What I give to be invisible.
Sue gazes sympathetically at her rock-plated friend. He walks away. Nighttime. Words painted on a large warehouse read Von Doom Industries. Inside, Victor strides away from two limp, smoking bodies on the ground.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm just going to pick up a few things for some friends.
He passes a long metal box imprinted with the words MK-157, heat-seeking. Elsewhere in the warehouse, several cylindrical tanks and tubing sit under a sign. Caution, hypercooling unit. Victor steps closer to the warning.
Perfect.
Now our view looks across the river toward the brilliant lights of Manhattan, then dips toward Brooklyn. In a bar, Ben enters, wearing his fedora and trench coat. A man playing pool and customers in booths stop and watch Ben walk past. Approaching the bar, Ben takes a seat on a stool. It immediately collapses under his weight. As some of the customers cover their smiles, a woman at a nearby table takes in a breath. Ben stands.
That's not funny.
This is Ben Grimm here. The first mook from Brooklyn to go into outer space. So pay him some respect.
Just give me the usual and I'm out.
All right.
Make it a double.
Make it a triple.
Ben looks to the woman at the nearby table.
Put it on my tab, Ernie.
You got it, sweetheart.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
As Ben lifts his glass, it shatters.
It's okay, Ben.
If there's a god, he hates me.
She is not so into hate.
Ben notices her collapsible cane.
You could see me. You wouldn't be saying that.
Then let me see you. Can I?
Grinning, she tucks her cane into her purse. As the blind woman approaches Ben, she bumps a stool.
It's okay.
She takes a step closer and places her delicate hands on Ben's stony chest. Whoa. She runs her fingers up the middle of his open trench coat. Her hands work their way up his thick neck to his cheeks. Ben closes his eyes as her fingertips gently brush over his features. She smiles.
So sad. You know, being different isn't always a bad thing.
Trust me, this ain't one of them times.
Not if you don't want it to be. All right, Ernie, I'm out of here.
I'll take you.
See you later, buddy.
As she walks past him, she gently runs her hand down his shoulder. Ben lets out a breath and his eyes shift thoughtfully. He turns around.
I'm Alicia, by the way.
Ben watches Ernie see Alicia to the door and a gentle smile lifts his lips.
Thanks, Ernie.
Now in Victor's office, a small plaque beneath an angular metal mask reads Victor Von Doom, in recognition of your humanitarian contributions from the people of Latveria.
Reed. Everything he wanted, he took from me.
Victor studies surveillance images of Reed working in the Baxter Building lab.
Now it's time to take it back.
The image switches to Ben's profile.
But first, I need to get rid of his
bodyguard.
Victor's eyes narrow. Now raindrops dot a diner's front window. On the other side of the glass, Ben sits alone in a booth. As he gingerly lifts a coffee cup to his lips, Victor approaches.
The seat taken?
What are you doing here?
I was worried about you.
You're worried about me? That's sweet.
Come on. Let me buy you something to eat.
He sits across from him.
Looks like you could use the company.
Now in the lab, Reed's head rests on his computer keyboard. Sue taps his hand.
Reed.
He lifts his head, revealing his smushed nose and button-shaped indentations on his cheek. As Sue smiles, his skin smooths out again.
I was just resting my eyes.
So I see. The new readouts look very promising.
Not promising enough.
When are the next tests?
I've run out of plants. So I was thinking maybe... there's always me.
No. It's too soon. Reed.
I should get back to work.
You need a break.
So not now, please.
Come on, let's go.
Now they stand overlooking the river.
Remember this place?
Of course. This is where I first asked you out.
I think it was me that asked you.
Right. Well, you can be a little intimidating.
You know, a girl can grow old waiting around for you to take charge.
Well, we can't all be as bold as...
who? Victor?
Reed avoids her gaze.
You know, there is no me in Victor. Never was.
Well, I guess that's what I thought you always wanted.
He lifts his face, giving her a regal profile.
A stronger man.
His jawline stretches, becoming square and defined. As it returns to normal, Sue grins, then nods.
I did, Reed. But I wanted you to be that man.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I guess it kind of would have defeated the purpose. But I'm saying it now. So take charge.
As he leans in for a kiss, Sue closes her eyes and turns invisible. Reed looks from her collar to her floppy hat.
That's not fair.
At the diner, a waitress sets a stack of pancakes before Ben.
Excuse me.
Ben grabs a milkshake cup with his bulky hand.
I know it's not easy. Life hasn't changed that much for Reed, Sue, or Johnny. At least they can still go out in public, but for you...
If you try to cheer me up, you're doing a hell of a job. You know what I mean, Scarface?
Just saying, I know what it's like to lose something that you love, to see it slip away and know it's never coming back.
Look, Reed is gonna fix me up, okay?
Victor half smiles.
For your sake, I hope you're right. Look, he's a brilliant man. We should all trust that he's working as hard as he can. You're his best friend. So what possible reason could he have for taking his time?
Ben's eyes shift, then level on Victor.
I mean, other than spending more time with Sue.
Now Reed and Sue head toward the lab.
Wow, I had no idea.
It's true.
They find Ben waiting, and their smiles fade.
Yeah. I have that effect on people.
Ben.
Oh. So you remember my name now, do you? Well, do you also remember what you swore to do with every breath in your body?
We're working as hard as we can.
Yeah, I can tell.
Sue drops her gaze.
Victor was right.
Victor? Ben, I don't know if this thing will change us back or make us worse. I need you to be patient for a little while longer.
Reed, look at me!
I am looking! That's why I can't make a mistake. I've got to get it right, and it's not right yet. We need to test it.
I spent my whole life protecting you. And for what? So you can play Twister with your girlfriend while I'm the freak of the week?
Ben shoves him into a desk.
Ben, stop it!
You stay out of this, Susie.
Stop it or I will.
Reed jumps on Ben's shoulders and coils his limbs around him.
You guys, quit it!
Ben struggles backwards, slams Reed against the mutation chamber, then throws him outward. Bound to his friend, Reed stretches out and retracts. As Ben flings him off, Reed cuts behind and speedily encircles the solid man's arms. As Ben reaches for his elastic opponent, Reed twists his body into a stretchy restraint. Unable to move, Ben grits his teeth. Sue looks at them uneasily. Reed releases his grip.
good thing you're flexible enough to watch your own back.
With a stern look, the scientist uncoils his body. Ben walks away, then turns back and glares at Reed.
Because I ain't doing it no more.
The scientist takes a heavy breath.
You two are on your own.
Ben storms out of the lab. Sue faces Reed with a concerned look, and he lowers his gaze. Reed falters back and sits. Downstairs, Johnny carries an action figure resembling the Thing. He spots Ben.
Hey, look what the marketing guys gave me. Look, check it out. Listen. You love this.
It's clobbering time.
It's catchy, right?
Ben grabs the toy.
Isn't that great?
He smashes it against the wall.
That was the prototype!
As Ben walks away, Sue rushes off an elevator.
Ben!
She sees her brother.
Johnny, have you seen Ben?
Yeah, Sunshine just left. Look, Sue, I'm sorry. I can't stay in this freak show. I gotta get back to the real world.
You're calling that the real world?
Sue, stop. You're not Mom. Don't talk to me like I'm a little boy, okay?
Maybe I would if you stopped acting like one. Do you even hear yourself? Who do you think you are?
Why is everyone on my ass? If you guys are jealous, that's fine. I didn't expect it to come from you, though.
You really think those people out there care about you? You're just a fad to them, Johnny.
Let's try something new. You live your life, I'll live mine.
He spreads his arms.
Sound good?
He turns to leave, and she cocks her head.
Oh, and just for the record, they love me!
He pushes against a revolving door. Back in the lab, a screen displays the image of a cosmic cloud. The word active blinks below the words storm simulation. Reed slides levers up on a control panel, raising the generator power level. The scientist pushes a button and the mutation chamber doors open. He stares at the open unit, then steps forward. Furrowing his brow, Reed presses his lips firmly together and swallows. With a determined stride, the scientist steps into the chamber and turns to face the lab. The door seal closed. On a monitor, vertical lines move from the cloud in the generator to the mutation chamber. Now, as Sue rides in the elevator, lights flicker and it stops. She looks around nervously.
Oh, God. Reed.
Now, from his office across the city, Victor watches bright light pulse atop the Baxter building. As Sue rushes toward the lab, lights flicker around her. With a knitted brow, she watches the chamber doors slide open. Looking down, Reed slowly steps out of the machine. The scientist spots Sue across the room and she grins. Returning the warm gaze, he checks himself, then raises his head proudly. As she watches, Sue's jaw drops open. The left side of Reed's face droops down like putty. His left arm loosely extends to the floor and he falls over. Sue runs to him.
Do.
I can make it work.
No.
I need more power to control the storm.
More power?
You need a doctor. Come with me.
In his office, Victor watches them on screen.
Leonard, bring Ben Grimm to the Baxter building.
Now Victor's assistant leads Ben into Reed's lab.
Ben, come in.
What is this? Where's Reed?
Where do you think? With Sue. I'll take it from here, Leonard.
Yes, sir.
As the assistant leaves, Ben eyes Victor and steps closer.
What do you want, Vic?
To help you. The machine is ready.
But Reed said it wouldn't
be. He also said we'd avoid that storm in space, but we all know how that turned out. He couldn't generate enough power for the machine to reach critical mass. Yet another mistake for Mr. Fantastic.
And you can?
Yes.
As Ben steps closer, Victor stays in shadow.
Tell me, do you want to be Ben Grimm again?
Ben looks at his monstrous hands and rock-plated body, then frowns. Now the chamber doors slide open. With a deep breath, Ben steps into the illuminated machine and turns to face the lab. Bright lights shine down on him as the doors seal shut. At the control panel, Victor uses his gloved hands to raise the power level. While one monitor depicts lines moving between the storm and chamber, another shows power levels rising. Inside the chamber, Ben cringes. Victor checks the monitor and sees the levels dropping. He focuses on the spherical generator to his side. He opens a panel, revealing a cloud of sparkling energy. The word failure blinks on screen. Victor grimaces, then thrusts his arm into the cloud. As sparks and bolts of electricity blast out of the generator, the power levels rise. Inside the chamber, the energy cloud consumes Ben, and the machine glows orange. Victor continues holding his arm inside the generator. Outside, the glowing energy flashes through the windows. As lights flicker in his bedroom, Reed opens his eyes and Sue looks away from a first aid cabinet. In Times Square, Johnny watches the neon signs blink on and off, then spots the Baxter Building. Now in the lab, the chamber doors open. As smoke clears, Ben crawls out. He's returned to human form. The bald man looks at his thin fingers, then touches his flesh-covered face. He closes his eyes and grins.
Oh, thank you.
Ben looks around the lab. He rises in his baggy pants and leans against the machine. Balancing on his feet, Ben holds up his pants and steps down from the chamber. He throws on the now gigantic trench coat. As he fastens a belt, our view closes in from behind Ben's head.
Vic?
Everyone thought I was safe behind those shields.
Cuts on Victor's face reveal his metallic skin.
Oh my God. The machine worked for me. It can work for you too.
Oh, it did, Ben. It worked perfectly.
Ben knits his brow.
You planned this.
I've always wanted power. Now I have an unlimited supply.
And no thing to stand in your way.
Take a good look, Ben. This is what a man looks like who embraces his destiny.
He backhands him with his metal arm. Ben crashes into a shelving unit.
One down, three to go. Vic?
Reed looks down from a catwalk.
Right on cue.
Ben? What did you do?
Exactly what I said I would. I built a better, stronger being and outsmarted the great Reed Richards.
If you've exposed yourself to the storm, you're endangering your life. You need help.
You always know best.
Reed wearily lowers his head.
So tell me, what happens when you superheat rubber?
As Reed shakes his head, Victor blasts out a bolt. The scientist bends sideways. Victor fires another current, sending Reed through a window. Outside, he falls to a ledge and hangs on with one hand. The scientist's arm stretches uncontrollably, and he descends over the city streets. He grabs onto the ledge with his other hand. His arms sink lower and pry free from the building. Reed plummets helplessly, hits another ledge, then slides into a free fall. In the lobby, the doorman notices the lights flicker. Victor steps off the elevator.
Mr. Von Doom, are you okay?
Never better, Jimmy.
Jimmy crashes through the window doors in front of a crowd. Victor happily steps over the glass fragments. Unconscious, Reed dangles limply above. Victor yanks on his elastic arm.
Why the long face? Let's talk in my office.
As he pulls him, Victor notices his cut-up reflection in a piece of glass. He grimaces, then stomps. Now in his office, he smashes a glass case and lifts the angular mask into his metallic hands. Now in the lab. Sue rushes over and smiles at Ben's human form.
Sue!
Johnny, the machine worked! Give me a hand!
Come on. Ben!
Get his arm.
They lift Ben to his feet.
You all right, Ben? Put him on the step.
What happened? They gotta leave you for 5 minutes.
Ben slouches over.
The machine. Vic used it on himself. He was affected by the cloud like us.
Where's Reed?
Vic must have taken him.
Ben eyes the hole in the window above, now in Victor's office.
Dr. Richards, allow me to begin your lesson. Chemistry 101. What happens to rubber when it's super cooled?
Tubes connect coolant tanks to Reed. Shivering, he appears blue.
Give up?
Reed's frosted hand twitches.
That's not like you, Reed.
Victor pulls back on Reed's index finger. Restrained in a chair by metal cuffs, the scientist grimaces.
After all, we're both doctors.
Victor wears a hooded cloak and the angular mask.
painful? You don't know the meaning of the word.
At the Baxter building, Johnny and Sue step out onto the roof. Back in his office, Victor grabs a heat-seeking missile launcher.
Just a little something from our defense contracts.
He climbs a few steps and aims it toward the Baxter building.
Let's check in on the rest of the family, shall we?
Victor locks a target in the crosshairs and fires. Johnny sees it coming, looks at Sue, then down at his body.
Oh no.
He peers over the edge.
We gotta get out of here.
I got an idea.
Don't even think about it.
Never do.
What are you doing? Johnny, no!
Johnny dives off the building. As he plummets, the missile turns downward and follows him. Igniting, Johnny rockets over a street of stopped cars. Woo-hoo! As he blasts through the city streets, the missile follows close on his tail. Sue watches from the top of the Baxter building.
We have to help Reed.
It's too dangerous for you now. You have to stay here.
She runs off.
What'll I do?
Ben stares after Sue, then shifts his gaze to the mutation chamber. Outside, the Human Torch zips like a speeding bullet through Times Square. The missile keeps up behind him. As Johnny looks over his shoulder, he heads straight for a skyscraper. He turns upward and blasts a fireball above him into the sky. As the missile chases it, Johnny loses his flames and falls. The missile turns around and speeds toward him. Reigniting, the Human Torch tears through the sky and shoots past a windowed building. With the missile on his tail, the superhero dives toward the ocean. Johnny spots a trash barge ahead and charges forward. Close behind, the missile locks on its target. The Human Torch thrusts a fireball at the ship. As flames engulf it, the missile heads straight for the glowing vessel. It explodes, thrusting Johnny into the water below. In his office, Victor faces the window.
Two down, two to go.
Behind him, the coolant tanks continue freezing Reed in the restraining chair. A valve lever turns by itself. A transparent shimmer vaguely shows a hand undo Reed's wrist restraints. She eyes his blue skin.
What has he done to you?
How romantic.
Sue becomes visible, wearing her uniform.
Victor, please.
Call me Doom.
The machine works.
Reed sees light pulsing atop the Baxter building.
Turn you back.
Do you really think fate turned us into gods so we could refuse these gifts?
Victor, you always thought you were a god. Now back off.
Susan, let's not fight.
No, let's.
She projects a force wave at him. Doom stumbles. A window behind him shatters.
Susan, you're fired.
Blasting electricity from his hands, he sends Sue flying across the room.
To think. I was about to share my life with you.
Sitting up, she goes invisible. Doom halts his grim approach.
Marco. Polo. Marco.
Force waves glance off Doom's chest. He fires at the point of origin and a flash reveals Sue. Doom reaches out and squeezes. Sue flickers. Doom holds her up in the air by her throat.
Did you say goodbye to your brother Johnny?
She becomes visible. Doom throws her next to the restraining chair.
It's time to end this.
The Thing bursts through the doors.
No, Vic. It's clobbering time.
The Thing punches Doom's chest, launching him against the far wall. A metal panel adorned with a V drops on top of Doom.
Damn, I've been waiting to do that. Susie, you okay?
The Thing eyes Reed.
Victor ain't that bad, huh?
He tears off the coolant tanks.
It's a little larger than life, right? Maybe next time you'll listen to me before.
Ben!
The lights go out. Doom tackles Ben and they tumble out a window. They grapple as they drop through a skylight and land in a swimming pool. Its bottom cracks on impact. In a hotel hallway, a tremor startles a man holding a wine bottle and glass. Water drizzles from the ceiling. Now the pool floor gives. Ben, Doom, and a torrent of water surge down the hall. The hotel guest tries to unlock his door, then ducks into the frame, avoiding the onrush. Ben, Doom, and the Flood shatter through a window at the end of the hall and plunge 20 stories. They land in a passing garbage truck. It stops. The truck's metal walls bulge and warp. Pedestrians scatter and the vehicle rocks violently. The rear tears open like tinfoil as the Thing gets thrown out. His rock body lands on the hood of a car. The two women inside panic.
Sorry, ladies. Pull over. The brakes!
The ladies bank the car on a curb and get out. Now the garbage truck hatch opens, revealing Doom. Arriving police officers take aim.
This is the police! Put your hands up and step down from the vehicle!
A blast of electricity from Doom explodes a squad car.
Take him out!
Doom cringes as bullets hit him, then stands tall as the shots ricochet off his mask and body.
Ladies, I'm gonna need to borrow your car.
The transmission sticks!
Not gonna be a problem!
Ben flings the car. It plows into Doom and pins him to a passing bus. The mangled clump of vehicles careens across an intersection and hits a street lamp. As sparks dwindle, Ben stares at the wreckage. The bus door opens and Doom steps into view, fixing his coat lapels. The thing grits his teeth and charges. Doom grabs a 12-foot section of pipe and swings it, sending the thing backward. Ben's rock-plated body gouges the pavement as he slides to a halt on his back.
Goodbye, Ben.
Doom prepares to skewer the thing through his chest.
I can't let you do that.
Reed glares.
Reed? I'll be right with you.
Doom heaves to with the pipe. As the thing braces for the stab, a force field arrests it inches above his chest.
Hello, Susan. You three are pathetic.
A fireball ignites Doom's clothing. The human torch soars downward in full blaze, hits the ground running, and halts in human form.
You miss me.
The thing gets up and joins his friends.
Had a little relapse, huh?
Johnny and Ben swap glances.
Welcome back.
This is gonna be fun.
Doom raises his arm skyward and draws electricity from all directions. Dozens of New Yorkers scatter as the wild energy shatters windows. Doom fires at Johnny, then at Ben. Electricity strikes a lamppost. As a transformer hurtles toward a woman, Sue intercepts it with a force field, then struggles to repel a relentless energy surge from Doom.
I can't hold it!
Reed stretches an arm and flings a mailbox at Doom. He then takes on the shape of a car tire, rolls forward, and flattens into an enormous rubbery tarp. He engulfs Doom like drop pizza dough.
Johnny, supernova! I thought we agreed that was bad!
Now!
Ben yanks Reed free. Johnny swoops in.
Ben! Gotcha!
As Johnny forms a fiery cyclone around Doom, the villain's clothes burn up. Doom reaches in vain for the accelerating human torch.
Doom! Think you can contain it?
As Sue conjures a shimmering force field, Doom clambers helplessly, encircled by the fiery cyclone. Sue's force field contains the cyclone, and the thing smirks.
Flame on, kid.
Doom writhes and shoots feeble bolts of electricity. The cyclone and force field climb higher. Blood trickles from Sue's nose. The cyclone flares, and Johnny tumbles out wearily. He looks at the dying flames. Sue's arms drop to her sides, and the force field vanishes. Doom stands before them, gleaming a superheated orange.
Is that the best you can do? A little heat?
Time for your lesson. Chem 101. What happens when you rapidly cool hot metal?
Ben kicks a cap off a hydrant.
Ben!
As water gushes up, Ben angles his large foot over it and redirects the flow. The water shoots horizontally into the intersection and douses Doom. Steam billows off the villain, obscuring him in a growing cloud. Now the thing crumples the broken hydrant closed with his powerful hands, then peers into the clearing steam. Reed, Sue, and Johnny stare too. On the cooling pavement, steam drifts past a solidified Doom. His metallic body stands frozen in mid-stride. A misty breath escapes the thing's stony lips.
Whoa.
Sue's blonde bangs droop over one eye as she fixes her gaze on the thwarted villain. Ben approaches Johnny.
You done good, kid. Come on.
Reed goes to Sue.
Sue, you okay?
Yeah.
He helps her to her feet. Johnny puts his arm around Reed, and the Fantastic Four stand shoulder to shoulder, scanning the crowd.
Man, I love this job.
Job, huh?
Well, we do have the suits.
Reed smiles and nods. Ben and Johnny turn around, facing the frozen villa and the New Yorkers beyond. Johnny holds his arms wide and dips his head in a bow.
We can't stop, let's go.
Nighttime, on board a pleasure boat, a banner reads, "Thank you, Fantastic Four." A bartender serves Sue and Alicia.
Ladies, your drinks.
I don't think we need another.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Young women surround Johnny.
Oh, I need names and shots. Bartender!
Custom made, 36 quadruple E.
Ben wears giant Nikes.
I've seen the numbers on the machine, and I think if I can rework the power
settings. Forget about it, Egghead. I'm good as is.
Better than good, baby.
Ben shatters Alicia's glass.
You just need to work on your touch.
I like the sound of that.
Ben cuddles Alicia. Reed looks to Sue.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Sure.
Sue goes on ahead. Ben gives a parting wink to Reed, who reciprocates. Reed heads off. Now in the night air, he and Sue meet by the railing at the boat's stern.
I found a broken gasket from space.
A gasket? Reed, come on, we're at a
party.
If
one of us were to wear it?
Sue looks down to his hand. A silvery band gleams, pinched in his fingers. Sue looks longingly into Reed's eyes. The scientist gets down on one knee.
No more thinking. No more variables.
He smiles at her.
Sue Storm, will you marry me?
As a grin spreads across her lips, she drains of color and turns invisible. Her sweater sleeve rises, and Reed slips the ring onto the faint, shimmering outline of her finger.
Sue, you kind of need to say something.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He smiles and stands. Sue's diamond solitaire earrings hover before him. He closes his eyes and gives her a kiss.
That's my nose, genius. These are my lips.
Her complexion flushes with color, and she gives him a lingering kiss.
Oh, she's kissing him.
The engaged pair faces the party guests. Ben faces Johnny.
Hey, no more wisecracks about the way I look.
Hey, call me Mr. Sensitivity.
He clears a path for Ben.
Okay.
Wide load coming through. Everybody move. He's huge.
Johnny steps out on deck.
Come here, Mr. Sensitive.
Climb on!
As Ben and other guests follow, Johnny rockets into the sky.
Show off!
Reed, Sue, and Alicia smile. In the sky over New York Harbor, the Human Torch draws a flaming number 4 enclosed by a circle. The Statue of Liberty stands facing it. Words appear. The end. The screen flickers, and now Doom's silvery mask gleams in the dim light of a cargo container. A reinforced door closes in front of it, bearing the Von Doom name. Two workers in hard hats leave the container with Leonard.
How long will it be?
Should be about 12 days.
A worker shuts one of the container's double doors. The other worker checks a digital clipboard's data, but the high-tech tablet goes staticky. Leonard glances uneasily toward Doom's mask. The second container door gets locked into place, and the two workers stride off. Leonard shrugs against a stiff breeze and follows. The cargo container is one of dozens stacked on a freighter at sea. The enormous ship crawls away from us toward the vast horizon, the word Latveria painted on its stern. Credits, directed by Tim Story, written by Mark Frost and Michael France, based on the Marvel comic book by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, produced by Bernd Eichinger, Avi Arad, Ralph Winter, executive producers Stan Lee, Kevin Feig, executive producers Chris Columbus, Mark Radcliffe, Michael Barnathan, director of photography Oliver Wood, production designer Bill Bowes, film editor William Hoy, ACE, co-producer Ross Fanger, music by John Ottman, music supervisor Dave Jordan, costume designer Jose I. Fernandez, casting by Nancy Klopper, CSA, Johan Griffith, Jessica Alba, Chris Evans, Michael Chiklis, Julian McMahon, Kerry Washington, Laurie Holden, Hamish Linklater, Maria Menounos, a 1492 Pictures Bernd Eichinger production. Unit Production Manager, Ross Fanger. First Assistant Director, Lee Cleary. Second Assistant Director, David K. Arnold. Cast, Johan Griffith as Reed Richards. Jessica Alba as Sue Storm. Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm, Julian McMahon as Victor Von Doom, Hamish Linklater as Leonard, Kerry Washington as Alicia Masters, Laurie Holden as Debbie McElvain, David Parker as Ernie, Kevin McNulty as Jimmy O'Houlihan, Maria Menounos as Sexy Nurse, Michael Kopsa as Ned Cecil, Andrew Earley as Compound Doctor, Pascal Hutton as Nightclub Girlfriend, G. Michael Gray as Nightclub Boyfriend, David Richmond Peck as Gallery Patron, Penelope Corrin as Bohemian Girl Number 1, Annika Laurent as Bohemian Girl Number 2, Jason Schombing as Bridge Businessman, Jason Diablo as NYPD Bridge Cop Number 1, Colin Lawrence as NYPD Bridge Cop Number 2, Paul Belsito as NYPD Bridge Cop Number 3, DJ Jackson as Chief Fireman, Morgan Reynolds as Corvette Redhead, Gina Holden as LV Receptionist, Donovan Stinson as X Games Announcer, Douglas Weston as Victor's Doctor, Tony Alcantar as Compound Reporter Number 1, Brenda M. Critchlow as Compound Reporter Number 2, Peter Bryant as Lame Joke Businessman, Lorena Gale as Old Lady with Car Number 1, Danielle Dunn-Morris as Old Lady with Car Number 2, Nicole Munoz as Little Girl, Daniel Bacon as Bridge Reporter, Bobby Bysouth as Compound Reporter Number 3, Kenny Bartram as himself, Cowboy Kenny, Ronnie Renner as himself, Brian Deegan as X Games Riders, Lusting Models, Marlena Ma, Trey Verhoeven, Juanita Meyerhaus, Stephanie Singer, Jamie Little as X Games Reporter, Doug Abrahams as Truck Driver, Ron Chartier as Hotel Guest, Stan Lee as Willie Lumpkin, Girls in Park, Barbara Cristabella, Sanja Bannock, Construction Workers, Ed Hodson, John Spiridakos, Jason Kaufman as Cop, Preston Pete as Goth Guy, Newsstand Pedestrians, Stephen Fulani Hart, Beth Ann Shabeshi, Lou Torres as Cab Driver, Peggy Gormley as Homeless Woman, Maurice Tyson as Homeless Guy, Jamie McVitie as Little Girl on Bridge, Elevator Ladies, Jenny Square, Leah Salmon, Elena Wusi, Elena Arucci, Michelle Kulas, Kate Mullen, Georgia Dusen, Sienna Rose as Storm's Fan, Hector A. Leguio as Newsstand Vendor, Benedict Mulrooney as eTalk Daily CTV, Terry David Mulligan of City TV, Lauren Sanchez of KCOP KTTV, Mark S. Allen, KMAX TV IND Sacramento, John Brady, Fox Network News, Karen Winter Brill, AOL.com, Sarah Edwards, The Comcast Network, Heidi Eng, King TV, NBC, Seattle, Jim Ferguson, ABC, K-Gun 9, TV Tucson, CB Hackworth, Sam Hallenbeck, NBC Tampa, Mike Waco, Fox Network News, Marion Etoile Watson, UPN 9, Fox, Richard Ho, Wizard, The Comics Magazine, Dave Holmes, FX, Andrew Hunsaker, Yahoo Entertainment, Taylor Johnson, MSN.com, Bonnie Laufer Krebs, Tribute TV, Jennifer Lothrop, FX, Lisa Fuller McGee, KTVK TV, IND, Phoenix, Brett Martin, Fox 5, WAGA Atlanta, Liam Makelam, KRON TV, IND, San Francisco, Scott Patrick, KUSA TV, NBC, Denver, Shaheem Reed, MTV News, Sam Rubin, KTLA, Maria Salas, NBC, Entertainment Reporter, Miami, Devin Saltendeek, Much Music, Patrick Stoner, WHYY TV, Philadelphia, Lee Thomas, Fox 2, Detroit, Anthony Toscano, Talking Pictures, KJZZ TV, IND, Salt Lake City, David Moss. Songs, Come On, Come In, written by Scott Weiland, Slash, Duff, Matt Sorum, and Dave Kushner. All lyrics by Scott Weiland, performed by Velvet Revolver. Newts, written by Derek Whibley and Grieg Nori, performed by Sum 41. Now You Know, written by Ali Theodore, Zach Danziger, and Sarai Howard, performed by Miss 86, featuring Classic. Bang Bang to the Rock and Roll, written by Filippo Clary and Massimo Bottini, performed by Gabin. Kiri Kirimai Fantastic Four Remix, written and performed by Orange Range, remixed by Josh Deutsch. On Fire, written by Kwame B. Holland, Christopher Lloyd, Curtis Jackson, Harry Palmer, Marshall Mathers, and Louis Resto, performed by Lloyd Banks, contains an interpolation of The Champ, written by Harry Palmer. Relax, written by Howard Bailey and Kwame B. Holland, performed by Chingy. Error Operator, words and music by Taking Back Sunday, performed by Taking Back Sunday. Waiting, Save Your Life, written by Derek A.E. Furman, performed by Omnisol. New World Symphony, featuring Pharaoh Monk, written by Miri Ben-Ari, Kanye West, and Troy Jamerson, performed by Miri Ben-Ari. Contains portions inspired by The Symphony of the New World, composed by Antonin Dvorak. Whatever Happened to the Heroes, written by Alicia Moore, Billy Mann, and Christopher Rojas, performed by Joss Stone. Everything Burns, written by Ben Moody, performed by Ben Moody, featuring Anastasia. Goodbye to You, written by Justin Reimer with Brett Erickson and Ben Scheigel, performed by Breaking Point. Soundtrack available on Windup. Score album available on Varese Sarabande. Copyright 2005 Kumar Mobilyan Gesellschaft MBH & Company, Project No. 3 KG, and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. Kumar Mobilyan Gesellschaft MBH & Company, Project No. 3 KG, is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. In association with Kumar Mobilyan Gesellschaft MBH & Company, Project No. 3 KG, released by 20th Century Fox. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, read by Miles Neff. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website, access.wgbh.org.